All right, we're going to do 2 weeks of microscopy. So you're not getting all the way through this packet today. Main reason I want to talk today is because microscopy is not as easy as it looks. It's not as easy as putting your eyes up to a scope. Most of you at this moment probably suck at it. And most of you will probably continue to suck when you leave, because it's not something you learn in 5 minutes. But I'm going to tell you the right way to use these scopes, and hopefully some of you will do it the right way. But I also want to just talk about the anatomy of the scope itself. Well, first of all, what we have in front of us is just one category of microscope. It's a light microscope, which means that it uses humanly visible light that's transmitted through the specimen in order to get an image. There's also electron microscopes that use electrons instead of light for the imaging, but that's not what we're using. More specifically than saying that it is a light microscope, it is a slide scope. For instance, the dissecting scopes that you'll also be using eventually, which are in this final cabinet, those are also light microscopes. But a slide microscope is to be used specifically with glass microscope slides, which is what you'll look at today. And that's the only thing that you should look at with a slide microscope. You know, things like your fingertips and other bigger things you put on a dissecting scope. Even more specifically than saying that it is a slide scope, you can say that this is an example of a compound microscope, a compound light microscope. Now, what is it that makes it a compound scope? Well, it's not enough to say multiple lenses. For instance, it's not a compound scope because it has multiple lenses you look through. That makes it a binocular scope, not a compound scope. But yes, it's compound if it has two different types of lenses that both of which light passes through, one after the other. So light goes through one type of lens first and then through another type of lens. That's what makes it a compound scope. What are these two kinds or categories of lenses? Yes, objective lenses and ocular lenses. Now, ocular is just an adjective that means of the eye. So the ocular lens or lenses, there can be one or two. This is a binocular scope, so it has two. Are the things you put your eyes directly up to. These are ocular lenses. But light doesn't travel through the ocular lens in a compound scope until it has already traveled through the objective lens. These are objective lenses. And those are called objective lenses simply because they are close to the object that you're trying to magnify, the specimen. So the simplest possible compound microscope would have just one objective lens, no choice, and one ocular lens. It would still be compound, though, because what's happening is that in any given compound scope, light passing through the objective lens magnifies the image a certain amount, and then that already magnified image gets magnified more by the light passing through the second lens, which is the ocular lens, before it reaches your eye. So there's two stages of magnification, in other words, in a compound scope. This not only is binocular, so you have two oculars, but you also have multiple objective lenses, and they're housed on this swivel that you can move with the black piece swivels. What is this black piece that houses the objective lenses called? The part that swivels. No, the body is this part.
The nose piece?
It's the nose piece, yes. The nose piece houses the objective lenses. And why would we have different objective lenses? Because each one features its own magnification. So that's how you change magnification on this scope, by changing objective lenses that being used. The individual magnifications should be listed. I've never looked at these because they're brand new scopes. You're almost the first to use them. Should be listed on the barrel of each lens. So you can see, for instance, the one with the yellow line is a 10x. The one with the red line is a 4x, and so on. That's the magnification due just to that objective lens. So if you have it in the on the red, the shortest one, the 4x objective, that means light passing through that magnifies the image four times already, but you don't look at that yet, right? Because that light then passes through the ocular lenses, which are themselves 10x. At least they were in the other model. Yeah, they are. So the total magnification, which is what it looks like to you once it finally reaches your eyes, or actually once it finally gets processed in the brain, that's where seeing occurs. The total magnification is the mathematical product of the two magnifications, because you're magnifying something that's already magnified. And therefore, 4x times 10x is 40x. It looks 40 times bigger to you than it actually is. Okay? The fact that these... Not only does this have a choice of objective lenses, but this particular model of scope is an example of one that we call parfocal, which means that when you change objective lenses, the image should stay roughly in focus. You don't have to drastically refocus whenever you change objective lenses on a parfocal scope. And I'll talk more about drastic or rough focusing in a minute. Now, if you have it plugged in, that's not enough to turn the light on. Notice that there's a dedicated switch on the side. And even that is not necessarily enough to light it up. Mine's not plugged in. But if you turn on the switch and there is no light, that's because there's a, besides the power switch, the light also has a rheostat, a dimmer knob on the left side of the body. And this is a frequent mistake that beginning microscopists make. They think, let me just turn this up all the way. More light is better. Well, that's not always the case. Too much light can wash out the image and you won't see it nearly as well. So keep that in mind. There's actually more than one thing that can affect the amount of light in the image that you see. But if what you want to adjust is the amount of light and only the amount of light, then the best way to do that is with the dimmer. I'll tell you other things that will affect that in a minute. But anyway, this has a built-in lamp. That's what you're adjusting with the dimmer, the intensity of that lamp. And that light shines upwardly through a hole in this platform. Well, it's not properly called a platform. What is the name of that platform?
Stage.
The stage, right. This black platform is the stage. And the stage is where the slide gets placed anytime you view a slide. But don't pay any attention to where the center is, where the light is coming through on the stage. Don't try to put your slide there particularly. The only thing you should care about when loading a slide is that you put it into this clamping apparatus always the same way, regardless of where the light is. Well, what is this clamping apparatus called? That's called the mechanical stage, correct. So the in this model, it's silver. The silver mechanical stage is built on the stage, and it's called mechanical, meaning moving, because hanging down from the right edge of the stage, you have these two nested knobs. Those control the mechanical stage. And they operate, those two knobs operate very much like the two knobs of an Etch-a-Sketch. One of them moves the mechanical stage right and left. The other one moves it forward and backward. So you can get any position with some combination of these two mechanical stage knobs. And that's why you shouldn't care where the light is centered when you put a slide on. You put the slide in the only way it will fit into the clamp, and then you use the mechanical stage knobs to move the slide where you want it. Okay. Now, to properly use this thing, you need to personalize it. That's why each of you has its own scope. You're not sharing these because each body is different. All right, including the eyes. I'll tell you the ways that you want to personalize this, but let me just go through the proper way of using this in order, which is more than just personalizing it to you. For one thing, every time you load a slide, including the first slide, you should first make sure that the stage is down as far as possible, not by pushing on the stage, but by using the... There's two pairs of nested knobs. They're redundant. There's two versions on both sides of the neck. Doesn't matter which ones you use, but notice there's a big knob and a smaller knob. Well, the big knob is called the coarse focus knob because it drastically moves the stage. You can see it moving up and down. Well, the small knob, which is the fine focus, also moves the stage. Just it takes a lot more turns to move at the same distance. Okay? So anyway, before you load the first slide, always use the coarse focus knob, the big knob, to move it all the way down to the bottom. There's a couple reasons for this. One is that it simply gives you more room to load your slide into the mechanical stage clamp, so it's easier. But there's a more important reason that has to do with microscopy. I call these knobs the focus knobs because that is how you achieve focus. In other words, you focus a slide by putting it the correct distance for that slide, the correct distance from the objective lens that you're using. Right? There's going to be some distance between the slide itself and the objective lens. And by making that the proper distance, it will look focused for your eyes. Well, if you skip this step of going all the way down when you change a slide or when you put the first slide on there, then chances are, you know, if you just say, I'm not going to pay attention to the position of the slide, I'm just going to put a slide on, chances are it's not going to be in perfect focus, right? But there's two ways to be out of focus. A slide can be out of focus because it's too far from the lens or too close to the lens. And you don't know which one of those is true if you just put them on a stage where whatever its position is. You see what I'm saying there? Now, if you put it all the way down, it is certainly going to be out of focus. But you know that it's definitely out of focus because it's too far. And therefore, if you keep moving it upward, eventually it should come into focus. If it was already too close and you kept moving it up, it would get worse and worse and you'd just run it into the lens. It would never get into focus. So always start with the stage all the way down using the coarse focus knob. Okay. You have the light on, you have it dim, but still some light coming through, so you'll eventually see something. But this is all before you put on a slide. And you don't have a slide yet to work with, but you imagine the rest of this. Okay, you put the slide on. stages all the way down. Well, actually, even before you put the slide on, you use the nose piece to make sure that you are on the shortest objective, which is also, because it's the shortest, the lowest magnification objective lens. And for this one, it's the 4X. It would depend on the model. But in any given model, the objective lens that has the lowest magnification gets a special name. You know that? The scanning lens. And there's a good reason for that, of course. On any given slide, you're only looking at a portion of that slide when you see what you see through when you look at the lens. And what you see when you look through the oculars is a circle. That circle is called the field of view. Now that circle always looks the same size to you, regardless of what magnification you're using. But that circle is not actually the same size. That circle is some subset of the rectangle that the slide is. And at lower magnifications, that's a bigger part of the slide, because it's like being zoomed out. It won't look like the circle is changing, but when you go to higher magnification, you're really looking at a smaller circle within that. And therefore, you're looking at a smaller part of the overall area of the slide, and everything in that will look bigger to you. But the circle will look the same size to you, even though it's not the same size circle. You see what I'm saying there? At the lowest magnification, we call it the scanning lens because, being the biggest fraction of the area, it gives you the biggest overall view, and you can, by using the mechanical stage, quickly scan the whole slide surface to see whether there's something interesting that you can then zoom in on or increase the magnification for. That's why it's called the scanning lens. And always start with the scanning lens. Not just because I'm telling you to do it, but because compared to the other objective lenses, the scanning lens is much easier to focus. All right? That is because of something that's called depth of focus. So if you have, this is the bottom of the barrel of the objective lens, and this is a edge view of the slide. And so your specimen is on the slide, whatever it is. I told you that you focus by getting at the correct distance from the lens. But because of how our eyes operate, it will still look in focus. It certainly will look in focus if it's exactly at the right position. But it will also look in focus if it's a little bit higher or a little bit lower because of how our eyes work. Similarly, if you do any photography with an SLR, you can adjust what's called the depth of field. Right? For portraiture, for instance, you sometimes want a shallow depth of field so that the person is in focus and the background is intentionally blurred. Or you could have it the opposite way. You want to have both of them in focus. The reason they can be in focus, though, is because of how our eyes are not infinitely resolute. There's an error that can be tolerated, basically. And a similar situation is called the depth of focus. So there's one true distance that is in focus, but there's also a range around that. Anywhere in that bracket might look focused to your eye. Well, the depth of focus, the allowance, in other words, for it to still look like it's in focus to you, depends on the magnification, depends on the objective lens you're using. And the lower the magnification, the greater the depth of focus. This is clearly pointed out in one of the slides that you're assigned to look at today, which are the ones that are labeled, I think, as colored threads over here. Colored threads. Each of those slides doesn't matter which one you take because they're all the same. Each of the colored thread slides, though, has a yellow thread, a blue thread, and a green thread, or three different colors. But they're placed in there at different levels. All right? So that demonstrates, I mean, the reason those slides exist is that at low magnification, because of the wider depth of focus, all three colors will look in focus at the same time. When you go to higher magnification, the depth of focus decreases. And so you can get only one color at a time in focus. And by moving the focus knob, you can get the other ones to be in focus individually, but not all at the same time. Okay? That's depth of focus. But anyway, that's why you start always with the scanning lens, because it's the most forgiving. It's the easiest to focus. I told you that this is a parafocal scope, so that once you get it into focus with the scanning lens, then you might have to just barely tweak it when you go up to higher magnifications, because it should still be roughly in focus. Okay. Now back to this whole process. At this point, you now have a slide on, but the stage is all the way down. All right? You're on the scanning lens. Light is on, kind of medium intensity. And here's where it comes into the two ways in which you need to personalize this for your own body. Okay, this is a binocular scope. But notice that you can grab these and move them farther apart or closer together. That's to adjust for what is called the interpupillary distance, which is simply the distance between your particular two pupils on your eyes. That's not a constant among humans. Some people have greater interpupillary distances, some have smaller. All right? If you don't get the interpupillary distance correct, then you'll see two fields of view, two circles instead of one. And this is where I commonly see students just immediately giving up. Rather than adjusting it correctly, they'll just close one eye. Well, if you close one eye, you lose the whole benefit of having a binocular scope, which gives you depth perception. So if you have two functioning eyes, then you should use both of them. But you should adjust the interpupillary distance for your particular eyes. That's one setting, and then if you're the only one using that scope, you won't have to do that every time. You will the next time you use the scope, but I mean today you won't have to mess with it each slide. You adjust it, though, so that you can see one circle of light, one field of view. Okay, that's one way you personalize it. Now back to the process again. You have the slide in place. You've already set your interpupillary distance. You're on the scanning lens. The stage is all the way down. Put your eyes up to the oculars. But, let me make sure this new model is the same as the other. Oh, actually, it's not. Okay, it'll still be the same description, though. Put both eyes up, but close your left eye and look at the slide or look at the field of view with the slide in place once you do, with just your right eye up to the right ocular. Okay, your left eye is closed at first. Now, it's going to be out of focus at first, of course, because it's all the way down, right? But you know that it eventually will be in focus if you bring up the coarse focus knob. This is assuming that you've roughly centered the slide on the light by using the mechanical stage. So with that, just looking at it through the right eye, I mean, with your right eye through the right lens, slowly or gradually bring up the coarse focus. And it can take longer than you would think. So just be patient. If there's something there, it will eventually spring into focus. But keep going until you see something come into focus. If you go too fast, it'll come into focus and then go out of focus. But go back and forth with the coarse focus once you see something, to get it as good as possible for your right eye. Then go to the fine focus. still using just your right eye, and tweak it with the fine focus until it's as good as you can possibly get it for that eye. All right? Now, from that point on, until you change lenses, do not even touch either focus knob because you just set it perfect for that right eye. Now, close your right eye, open your left eye, and look through just the left ocular lens. If it is still in perfect focus, then you're done, but chances are it won't be. You don't want to change the focus, though, right? Because that's going to mess up the right focus. So instead of changing the focus knobs, with your left eye open, you move the left ocular lens, which has its own focus, and that will make up for any differences between your two eyes, because they're not necessarily equal to each other in their focusing ability. If you get it as good as you can with the left, then you can open both eyes, and if the interpupillary distance is set correctly, you should get as good an image as you can, except for maybe the adjustment of the light. It's as focused as it can be for your eyes in that point, but you want to always keep in mind that you can change the light. And you'll want to change the light when you change magnifications. Because when you go to a higher magnification lens, think about it, that's a smaller circle, right, that you're capturing. Therefore, there's less of the overall light beam coming from the lamp going through that smaller circle. So it's going to get darker as you go up in higher magnifications. That's when you want to increase the intensity, not at first. Turn it up and down, play with it to get a good image at each magnification level. There's a third way. The objective lens can affect the light intensity. But a third way is with this thing on the bottom. Below the stage, you also have a knurled ring. This thing can go by any of various names. It can be called the aperture. Or the diaphragm. Doesn't matter which name you use, but it's just like the aperture of a single lens reflex camera. When you stop down to a larger f-stop, which would allow you to have a greater depth of field in photography, metal blades come down and actually block most of the lens. That's the same thing that's happening here. You can open it up or close it down. Now that certainly will affect the apparent light intensity, but it also affects other qualities of the image. And that's why I said before, if all you really want to adjust is the light intensity, then there's only one proper way to do that, with the knob that is dedicated to only changing that, which is the dimmer. Play around with the aperture, though, because opening it up and closing it down can affect the contrast and the apparent depth of field. Okay. Any questions? Are you going to remember to do all of that the way I prescribed it, or are you just going to plop slide in there and look at it and close one eye? Well, you have prepared slides to look at today. And like I said, you're not doing the whole thing. So I want you to look at all three of the kinds of prepared slides. There's three trays here. Pay attention to where you put things back. Doesn't matter which slide you get from the tray, but it matters which tray you put your slide back onto. So keep them together. But you need a colored thread slide, a dog fleece slide, or just flea. They don't affect only dogs. I don't know why it's labeled that way. And a letter E. Now on the letter E slide, it's really just a typed letter E on a piece of paper that's in the slide. And the reason we have that is to prove to you the fact that when you look at through a scope, the image you see is inverted right and left and upside down. So that's why when you move the slide around using the mechanical stage, you're busy looking at it, so you're not really looking at the slide. You're looking through the scope, and it'll look like it's moving left or right. But if you take your eyes off and then look at what the stage is doing, it's moving in the opposite direction. because the image is reversed. It's upside down and right to left reversed. And you'll prove that because the E on the slide is big enough to see with your naked eye. If you just look at the slide, you can tell what position it's in, but then when you look at it through the scope, it will be upside down and backwards. That just indicates that fact. So look at all three of the prepared ones. Prepared slides are permanent. Don't throw those away. Just put them back in the right tray. You're going to make, today you only have to make one other slide. I mean, you only have to make one slide because we'll be doing more looking later. Today is really just about getting used to the scopes. But go ahead and make a pond water wet mount. A wet mount is called that because it's wet. It has liquid on it. You use a blank slide to do that. So there's blank slides up here, and there are also cover slips, which you really need to be careful with because these cover slips are very thin and they will slice you very easily. Be careful when you pick them up, but even more importantly, don't let these things right, and don't especially put them onto paper towels and stuff, because you can grab a paper towel and bunch it up thinking it's trash and it'll go right through your palm. Or people who deal with putting the trash out, don't put any glass in the regular trash. You're going to get rid of the slides. You don't have to ever take the cover slip back off once you make the slide. Just the slide with the cover slip on it, once you're done with it, goes in the glass disposal over here. But no paper towels in there, just glass. No gloves. Okay, anyway, to properly make a wet mount, it's not that hard, but you can mess it up. If just to make it bigger, imagine my hand is the glass slide. You put a drop of whatever contains your specimen. In this case, it's pond water. And I would suggest trying to get it from the bottom because things settle to the bottom. But anyway, this is the slide. You put a drop in the middle. And you want to put a cover slip on, but if you just plop a cover slip on level, you're going to get a bunch of bubbles in there. And you're going to think those bubbles, which are perfectly round, are cells. They're not. They're just distractions. So you want to minimize the number of bubbles, and you do that by, once you have the droplet on the slide itself, by putting the cover slip to the just to, next to the droplet, and then let it fall. And that will push all the air out one side, and you won't have many bubbles, or maybe, hopefully none. That way you can then look for real stuff, the real organisms, real cells. And that's really all you need to do today. We'll continue it next time. Okay.